From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And coming up, we'll look at what the University of Colorado is doing to combat sexual assault on campus.
But first, at this moment, millions of Scots are heading to vote yes or no on independence from the United Kingdom. The final polling shows the yes vote just a few points behind the no, a statistical tie. And this could be a record turnout. 97% of Scotland's eligible voting population has registered, and that includes 16 and 17-year-olds who have been given the right to vote for the first time for this referendum. Rich Preston is covering the story for NPR in Edinburgh, where the final votes will be hand-tallied tonight. Rich, what has it been like there?
We woke up to a grey morning in Edinburgh today, but other parts of the country are enjoying sunshine. Regardless of the weather, though, the atmosphere is electric. Some people feel like they've waited their whole lives for this vote. Ari Shapiro and I hit the streets this morning. There's a real buzz in the atmosphere, people wearing buttons, people waving flags, people wearing their kilts. And regardless of how they're voting, there's really the sense that this is the future of a new Scotland.
Well, either way, it is. And tell us about the process. We know there are 5,000 polling stations. Tell us more about the vote.
Yeah, there are over 5,000. There are 5,579 polling stations across Scotland. They open up at 7 in the morning and they're open until 10 o'clock tonight. When the polls close, the boxes are taken to one of 32 local authority areas across the country. Now, in some cases, like the Highlands and Islands, that includes transporting them by helicopter and boat. As you said in your introduction, 97% of the electorate have registered to vote and the turnout is expected to be high, well over 80%.
Well, and we are hearing that these votes will be counted by hand. Now, when you say 80% of the electorate, how many people are we talking about there? And counting by hand, tell us more about that.
Well, 97% of the electorate have registered. That's 4.2 million, over 4.2 million people. So, as you say, 80% of those are expected to turn out, if not more. They go to the polling booths, they cast their vote, and those voting slips are taken to the local authority areas. They're then counted in those areas and the details sent to Edinburgh for confirmation. And that's the point where people can ask for a recount. That's what might hold the vote up. But when Edinburgh and each local authority are happy with the numbers, they get confirmed and read out through the night. There'll be a busy period, probably about midnight, one in the morning, and it will go steadily through the night until the last few trickle in at around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Friday morning. That means that it's around breakfast time on Friday that the complete result of the referendum, and therefore the future of Scotland and the United Kingdom, will be known. What's interesting is there's a small quirk of law which means that whatever result the chief counting officer, a woman called Mary Pitcaithley, declares is legally binding, even if she reads the wrong result. But she has assured everyone that that won't happen.
I'm sure she'll be very careful as she does that. So Rich Preston there in Edinburgh, what's it been like to cover this story for you?
It's been terrific to cover the build-up to the story, but what's interesting is the actual polling day itself. Because contrary to the United States, where you have the First Amendment, there are very strict reporting restrictions in Britain on a polling day. It doesn't matter whether it's a referendum or a European election. You're really, really tightly bound by what you can say, which means broadcasters, journalists, reporters aren't allowed to report anything that might sway anyone's vote whatsoever. There's no reference to campaign material, no interview with politicians, spokespeople, party leaders. All you get are basic facts, what the weather's doing, what so-and-so is wearing. So it's quite interesting that after all the noise of the past few months, there's this strange silence descends. There's very little in the media. People go into that small booth, pull a curtain behind them, and mark their slip.
We're hearing from a colleague that she went to the Scottish Times, the paper, to just see what's going on. And you can't read the editorials on the vote. They've blocked that because, again, they don't, by law, they don't want to at all influence the vote. And she said she could read articles from back in the 1970s, but that was about it. But speaking of which, journalists from around the world are there. What have they been saying about covering this?
The interest really has gone global, especially from areas like Spain. There's a lot of Spanish journalists here because there's interest in Catalonia and Madrid about how this might impact on politics in their country. But there are Australian reporters, American reporters, obviously lots of British reporters. There's a big interest in this story.
Sure. Countries that have populations that would also like to break away are watching very, very closely. Rich Preston covering the independence referendum for NPR in Scotland there in Edinburgh. Rich, thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Great to talk to you.